Amen. Hey, I invite you to open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to continue in our sermon series, and by God's beautiful gift, today's text, the next few verses fit perfectly for what we need to concentrate. Let's stop for a moment of housekeeping in case some of you came late. I realize it's hot. There are waters at each of the places that you entered in coolers. They're iced down and cold. Please help yourself to those things. Restrooms are behind you in the buildings if you need them. Right now, people here in this space, online or even on the radio, are hearing us celebrate our risen Savior. And we want to do that now by looking at his word. I want to start, though, and perhaps may seem a little odd way to start an Easter sermon, because it's spring in the United States, and on Friday, the Braves open their baseball season. Do I have any Braves fans in the house today? Yes, thank you very much. In fact, they play the Phillies later this afternoon, so as you're hanging around, maybe it'll be on at your house. But here's why I bring that up. Last year, our center fielder, Ronald Acuna Jr., went down in history having done something that no one has ever done before. In one season, this player hit over 40 home runs and stole 70 bases, which is a club of exclusivity that no one has ever entered in before. And even people who aren't Braves fans, and even some of you who aren't even baseball fans, know that name because of what he did. He put his name in a category that no one else in history has ever done before, and likely no one will ever do again. Why do I bring that up on the most beautiful of days like today, and of all Sundays, Easter Sunday? Because it helps us understand that in the world in which we live, it is possible for a person to do something and to have a name that puts them in a category that no one else can be in. Way more significant than a baseball player or professional athlete or a politician. When we look this morning in our text, and when we celebrate on the day like today, Jesus and who he is and what he has done, we understand that he has a name and he is in an exclusive category that no one else can be in. No one has ever been in before. No one will ever be in again. He is unique. He is set apart. He is distinctive and exclusive, not only in his action, but even in his name. And we need to understand that this morning to understand better how to appropriately reply to it. Because Jesus is in a league of his own, so much so the way we even mark time in history is defined by what he did. So let's look at our scripture today. We're going to begin 9, 10, and 11 in Philippians chapter 2. If you have your worship guide, you can use it to follow along. Here's the first thing I want us to see, that verse 9 forces us to acknowledge Jesus is Lord. Can I get an amen? Let's try that again. Jesus is Lord. Yes, he is. Let's read verse 9. It reads this way. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. In order for Jesus to be acclaimed and acknowledged as the Messiah, as the Lord, the Son of God had to come to earth. We looked at that this past Good Friday service. He defeated the enemy. He defeated death and the grave when he rose from the dead. And he led his people, that's you and me, out of bondage, out of the strain of sin, over that in victory and even including death. That is including what he did on Good Friday and Easter. Jesus, even today, seated at the right hand of God, he still bears the scars of his crucifixion, where his hands and his feet were nailed, in his side where he was pierced. And he eternally testifies to the covenant that he has made with you and with me. He has a name that is above all names. He is in a class all by himself. To help us understand, though, the weight of what we've just read in verse 9, we need to go back in time, believe it or not, all the way to Exodus chapter 3. You know what happened in Exodus chapter 3? I'm glad you asked. Moses is out in the wilderness, and he's keeping sheep, and he stumbles upon a bush that is on fire but isn't burning up. And there at the burning bush, Moses has an encounter with God where he is given a commission to go back to Egypt, to walk into the palace of Pharaoh and demand that he let God's people go. Do you remember the story? And as he's going back and forth, literally, pretty bold of Moses, he's negotiating with God. And finally, Moses says, well, who do I tell Pharaoh has sent me? And God in that moment, for the first time, speaks his name. He said, you just tell them, I am, has sent you. What he literally says is, Yahweh is my name. I am the one who creates. I am the one who sustains. You just tell them, Yahweh sent you. The power and the weight of that name became so known to the Israelites. It was revered and worshiped in a way that for generations they wouldn't even write it out. They were so fearful to even say the name Yahweh. The name. But here's what we see. When we read this text in verse 9, we got to get a little nerdy to feel the weight of it this morning. What the writer, Paul, is saying here, it is he has given the name. And it is in the name, also known as Jesus, that every knee will bow. And in fact, the name that he is referring to here is Yahweh. He is speaking to remind us, this isn't just a man. This is God come to earth. Only he is capable to die for your sin. Only he is qualified for his blood to atone for your sin. That's what Jesus did for you. Jesus is Lord. It's not just some tag that you want to put on a t-shirt. It literally means Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is the eternal God. Jesus is the one who creates. Jesus is the one who sustains. I need you to get this morning. This is huge. And in fact, Paul, even here in Philippians 2, is cross-referencing a powerful verse that was written in Isaiah 45. It reads this way, Isaiah 45, 22 and 23. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth by my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me, every knee will bow. And every tongue swear allegiance. Here Yahweh makes this statement written in Isaiah. Paul makes the same statement to Jesus, the one who creates and sustains. Do we get this morning? It is literally in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yahweh that we come. The reality is this. The fact that Jesus is Lord is the single most impactful, undeniable and unchangeable truth in the world. Because his act, his sacrifice and his resurrection sets him apart. Jesus is Lord is the single most impactful, undeniable and unchangeable truth. Can I get an amen? You guys, I got to keep you going with me this morning. Be careful. Here's the second thing I need us to see. Jesus is Lord over everything. Let's look at verse 10 and see what it says and the significance of understanding. Jesus is Lord over everything. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. How many of warriors do we have in the crowd this morning? Soldiers, active duty, retirees, veterans, thank you for your service. I've never served in the armed forces, and I love those of you who have. I had a dear friend of mine who was he was assigned to West Point as an instructor, and he invited Hillary and I up to celebrate Thanksgiving with him. And he invited me to work with him one day. I don't know if he was supposed to, but he did. And so now I'm just going with him throughout his day at West Point. And we're sitting in this kind of common area, and we're just hanging out. It was the week before Thanksgiving break. Not a whole lot was going on. And so it's me and a lot of dudes that I, soldiers, like, you guys speak in, like, code, you know, the PCS and the MOS and the XYZs and the KJVs and all those things, right? And so I'm sitting here, and I'm hanging out, and all these codes, I'm like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, great. And I'm just glad to be in the room. And all of a sudden, Hugh, everybody in the room stood up. The commanding general of West Point had walked in the room, and I had no clue. And I'm just sitting in my chair like, why are all these dudes standing up? What is happening? And then it hit me. It's like, oh, Danny, I thought maybe I should stand up. And so I stood up and I did my best unprofessional, like, is this how this works? You know, I did my best shot. And I got to meet the commanding general of West Point that day. It was great. But here's why I tell you that story. There was a moment where everybody around me knew the response to this person in authority, but me. I didn't know what to do. But it was significantly helpful for me to see what others were doing in that moment, to realize, oh, there's some response that I should take. We understand, even physically, through it be a salute or a position, what it might look like for our bodies to be in a posture that acknowledges the authority of the person whose presence we are in. We get this? And I understand that we, in our custom today, we are not in the habit of bowing before someone of authority. But this is the imagery here. And this is not an assumption. This is not a suggestion. This is not an idea. This is just telling us, I need you to know, at the name of Jesus, everybody's going to bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth and from all time. Hitler will bow. Caesar will bow. Everybody will bow. In heaven and on earth. So what does it mean to bow before the Lord? Does it literally mean I bend the knee? I'm glad you asked. Because here it does specifically say every knee will bow. So certainly that is a physical response. But it also means other ideas physically throughout the Old Testament. For example, just quickly, the word literally means to bend the knee or to even sit down. It's illustrating the physical posture of my body to reflect the attitude of my heart and acknowledging the authority of someone greater than me. And in fact, in Isaiah 58, the same word used here for bow is referring to bowing your head. Daniel chapter 6 is literally bowing your knee. Psalm 95 tells us this, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Why? For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the flock of his care. When you bow before the Lord, literally on your knees, bowing your head, or in a posture even seated, bowing to acknowledge his authority, that is an act of worship to acknowledge that he is an authority over me, over us, in anticipation of the day that we will all bow before him. Here's the third thing. Verse 11, he will not be denied. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over everything. And just so that you understand this morning that this is not some idea or concept, he will not be denied. Let's read verse 11. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Paul recognizes that some people, God willing, everybody in this space today, but I realize the reality not everyone has. Paul acknowledges that many will voluntarily accept the reality that Jesus is Lord, will humble before him and participate in his glory here. Paul also knows that many others will deny his authority, will deny his lordship, and in the end be eternally separated from God, eternally condemned forever. Even they will bow, but it will be too late for them to experience the peace and the comfort of the presence of God forever. Church, sons and daughters here in this space today, also understand that we have been granted the invitation to participate in the global challenge to bear witness to the world that Jesus is Lord and to confess to the world that Jesus Christ is the one by which we can be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us this, because if you confess with your mouth that what? Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Easter is not simply about a holiday that we acknowledge what Jesus has done. It is a reminder of his exclusivity, of what sets him apart, of what makes him distinct, of what makes him unique, that he has conquered death, that he has conquered the grave, and that he has done all that needs to be done that none of us would qualify or even be able to do, so that we can have peace now and a promise forever with him. I thought there'd be an amen with that, but that's okay. I don't know if you're with me or not. To confess literally means to acknowledge or to agree. I agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. I agree that Jesus Christ is the one who creates and sustains. I agree that he is the only way by which I can be saved. It is only through him. I confess him as Lord, meaning we confess that he rules my life. It means we confess that he rules our church. It means that we confess that he is Yahweh, meaning he is not just a man. He is God in the flesh. And someday the entire universe, Stalin, Hitler, Caesar, every president who's ever served our country, every tyrant who has ever ruled, everyone will bow. Every demon, Lucifer himself, will publicly declare and openly acknowledge Jesus is Lord. We will agree. Here's the question. Do we willingly submit and acknowledge his authority now? While there is the beautiful invitation to walk in peace and purpose on this earth and with a promise to bow before him with all the saints for all time in heaven? Or it's like, maybe not. And we bear the judgment of God for eternity. I submit to you, confess him as Lord now. And look forward to the day when we will all acknowledge together the Lordship of Christ. Make no mistake, this verse is not saying that eventually everybody in the world who's ever lived will be saved. That is not what this is saying. This is telling us even those who have rejected will be forced to acknowledge the truth. Lean into this truth this morning. History is not like a treadmill. I have a treadmill upstairs in our home gym, and I'll get on it from time to time, and it's a great place to get some exercise. I have a TV in front of me to kind of distract me from the pain I'm putting my body through, and I'm really not going anywhere. It's easy for us to fall into the trap to think life is that way. You're born, you live, you die, it's it. History is not a treadmill going nowhere. Rather, it is moving toward a day when he will come again and receive unto himself those who have declared him as Lord on this earth. He has promised that he will come again. Why? So that where I am, there you may be also. So let's bow down now. Let's confess him as Lord now. For some of us in this space, today is the day of salvation. You may have come here today because a neighbor invited you, and there's never been a time in your life where you have acknowledged, confessed, admitted, and agreed that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the only way. And today may be the day that you make that acknowledgement. Today may be the day that you repent of your sin and say, you know what? I'm tired of doing it my own way because this clearly isn't working. But today, I submit and surrender to do it God's way. For somebody, today is the day of salvation. The day is coming when all men and every angel will confess by sight that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is today that day? Because here's the statement I want you to remember. Jesus is Lord. And that's a truth that cannot be denied. And it cannot be undone. It cannot be denied. And it cannot be undone. Jesus is Lord, whether you confess it or not. Whether by faith or in judgment, we will all confess that Jesus is Lord. So here's some questions I have for you as I wrap up. Will you confess him today? For you sons and daughters of God in this space, this is a renewal every day where we take up our cross and we die to ourselves and we declare and to confess, God, I agree that you're in charge of my life today. As a spiritually renewal commitment, that doesn't mean we get saved again every day, but humbling ourselves before him every day. God, I confess you, your Lord today. Will you bow before him today? I'm not asking you to physically get on the asphalt and bow. I talked about the meaning of that word a moment. But will you bow before him today? That is a confession. Some of you here in this space, today is the day of salvation for you. And right where you are, right in this moment, right now, you may begin to have a conversation with God that says, I understand, Jesus, that you are Lord. And I admit and agree, I confess that today to you. And from this day forward, you are the King of my life. Maybe that's a prayer that you need to make right now. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we come into this place collectively. We acknowledge that you are Lord. You are Jehovah. You are Yahweh. You are the one who creates and sustains. And only you have the power to save us. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you rose from the grave. Thank you that we have hope because of what you have done. And Lord, in this moment, if there's anyone in this room or in this space who has never trusted you and confessed you as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day right now where they pray and trust you. For all of us in this space who have declared you as the Lord in your life, may in this moment we bow our hearts and heads before you, declaring afresh that you are in authority and in control of our thoughts, of our actions, of our relationships. Because only you are worthy. God, thank you for this beautiful day that you've gifted us with, where we can gather as your people. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. Today is different. We're not going to end our service the way we normally do. Excuse me. But here's what I would ask. You have a paper worship guide. And there's a space, there's a tear-off section on the right that you can fill out and tear off. There's a space for you to identify what your next step is today. Would you continue in worship to write down your next step? And when you dismiss, you're going to walk past some black drop boxes that are, you can't get out without passing near one. Would you share your next step with us? We would love to follow up with you. You may have made a decision today that we want to celebrate. You may have questions about what we talked about today. You want to sit and discuss with somebody. Would you make that known to us? And we will commit to celebrate with you and follow up however is appropriate. But don't just confess with your heart. Confess with your mouth and make that known. So that next step form there for you. Or if you're using the mobile app or the website, there's just a simple next step button. We're not going to do our announcements and normally, and in fact, we're going to end through praise. I'm going to ask the band to lead us in a song that we will leave this place with celebrating hearts. So rather than taking the time to share announcements, there's actually a QR code and a couple of little reminders inside your worship guide. Take advantage of that information. But we also want to give you the opportunity to worship through giving today, because that is an act of worship when we gather. So those same boxes that I mentioned, for those of you that are regulars, you know what that is like, and that's space for you to worship through giving if you're prepared to do that. Or if this is your first or second time with us today, that same tear-off section that I referred to in the worship guide, one side that's next steps. If you flip it over, there's just an easy space for you to share your name, maybe your email address. We are not going to show up at your doorstep, but we would love to reach out and say thank you for coming and just open up a conversation. So if this is your first or second time with us, that would be your gift to us today. Those same boxes that I mentioned, you can pass that off. But here's what I invite you to do. Would you stand with me? I want to make a couple of statements as we prepare to sing. Jesus possesses a name that is exclusive and elevates him to a place that requires respect. It requires honor. It requires fear. It requires worship. And I am overjoyed by your presence today. I'm excited to see some new friends. I see some old faces I haven't seen in a while. I'm thrilled to see you here today. But even though we're excited, I just want to imagine the buzz. We're in an athletic space. Imagine the buzz if a helicopter landed on that baseball field and Kirby Smart was here. What would you do? Even non-Georgia fans, there would be a swarm of activity because he was here. You'd be wanting to take a picture or get a selfie, or you would start live streaming because someone of significance was on the premises. Or maybe a politician's fleet just rolled in. Oh, the governor's here. The president's here. Imagine how we would do. Listen, the King of Glory is here. He's right here. We don't have to wait. And he demands and expects our awe and our worship. So let's draw in close. Let's sing like we've never sung before in declaration of who we were and who we are because of him. Let's blow the roof off of this proverbial place.